Hello and welcome to the National Audit Office podcast. Hinkley Point C is due to be the first nuclear power plant built in the United Kingdom since Sizewell B, which was completed in 1995. The UK government has agreed the key commercial terms for a deal with EDF, the project promoters, including the price that it will receive for the power generated by the plant over 35 years from the date of its commissioning. The NAO has published a report looking into Hinkley Point, and I'm joined today by Simon Bittleston, the audit manager who worked on the report. Firstly, Simon, this is a very detailed report and nuclear power can be an emotive issue. So I'd like to start by asking you what this report isn't.
Well, the NAO's role is to assess the implementation of government policy. We don't question policy decisions. So in this case, we have not concluded on whether it was the right decision for the government to go ahead with the Hinkley Point deal. Ultimately, that's a policy decision for ministers. We also haven't assessed the national security, environmental or safety aspects of the deal. There are other government bodies that are better placed to assess the deal from those perspectives. What we have done with this report is to look at the various government departments, particularly BEIS, that's the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, how they assess the value for money and strategic case for proceeding with the deal. And we looked at how the department outlined to decision makers the potential benefits and risks of the deal. And we also looked at what arrangements BEIS has in place now to oversee the project while construction is beginning.
And as a bit more background information, this has been going on for quite a while. So it was originally the remit of the Department for Energy and Climate Change, DEC, but now it's BEIS, correct?
That's right. The government first began negotiating the deal for Hinkley Point C in 2012, and at that point it was the Department of Energy and Climate Change that were leading the government's negotiations. Last year that department moved into being part of BEIS, so it was BEIS that was responsible for signing off the deal last September. There are other parts of government that have also been involved during negotiations, most notably the Treasury, which reviewed the deal on a number of occasions, given its importance and the potential financial impact that it will have for electricity bill payers.
How large an investment are we talking about here? How much is this all going to cost?
Well, there's a number of ways you can look at the cost. The EDF, which is the main investor in the project, expects that it will cost around £18 billion to build Hinkley Point C over the next eight or so years. But the structure of the government's deal means that ultimately those costs will be passed on to electricity bill payers, and the government has agreed something called a contract for difference, which guarantees the price that consumers have to pay for Hinkley Point C's electricity at £92.50 per megawatt hour for 35 years, and that amount is linked to inflation. But what this means is that consumers, electricity bill payers that is, will need to pay top-up payments if the market price for electricity is below that set level. And the current estimate is that the cost of those top-up payments will be around £30 billion over the 35-year contract. However, the exact costs are very uncertain because no one can be sure what the market electricity price will be that far into the future. BEIS, in its calculations, thinks that those top-up payments equate to between £10 and £15 on each annual electricity bill in the late 2020s.
As this is one of the largest infrastructure projects the country is dealing with at the moment, how well did BEIS consider the costs and risks of its deal for consumers?
Our view is that BEIS didn't sufficiently consider the risks of the deal for consumers. In particular, we think BEIS should have done more to consider the alternative options to structuring the deal, which may have achieved better value for money for consumers. The current deal structure means consumers are protected from the risks that the project goes over budget, because consumers only pay for Hinkley Point C once it starts generating electricity. And this approach was in keeping with the way that the government has supported other low carbon technologies like wind and solar power, and means that consumers won't pay more if Hinkley Point costs overrun. But there are downsides to this approach. It means that the developer is bearing all of the biggest risk on the project. The construction is very risky due to its size, its length, and the reactor technology that's being used, which we know has faced problems in other projects around the world. And investors typically need to be recompensed for carrying large amounts of risk, and Hinkley Point C really is no different. The investor's required rate of return at 9% is a key factor which determines the contract for different price. That's the £92.50 I mentioned. And therefore, the value of the top-up payments that consumers will need to pay. So what we say in our report is that we think Bayes should have done more to consider the merits of alternative approaches to financing the deal, such as the government sharing more of the risk in the early stages of the project, which may have brought down the cost to consumers significantly, although, albeit potentially exposing them to more of that construction risk. In any case, as we highlight in our report, there are several examples of previous government projects where the intention was for the risks to be borne by the private sector, only for some of them to come back to government and taxpayers when things have subsequently gone wrong. We also looked at how Bayes appraised the affordability of the deal once it had decided on its approach to financing the deal, and we think they could have done more in this area too. For example, Bayes only assessed the impact of Hinkley Point C on people's bills up to 2030, whereas the expectation of the deal is that the contract will last until 2060. And finally, when they confirmed the deal last September, Bayes didn't conclude whether those top-up payments expected through the deal would be affordable for consumers. And it's worth remembering that those top-up payments, which, as I said, are currently forecast to be around £30 billion, that figure is considerably higher than what was expected when Bayes agreed the key terms of the deal in 2013. At that time, they were expected to be more like £6 billion. Now, this increase is primarily because the forecast for electricity prices has come down drastically as a result of falling fossil fuel costs. And that does mean overall that bills are actually now expected to be lower than they were. But the Hinkley contract means that consumers will benefit less from the falls in those wholesale prices than they would have done otherwise.
So I guess the most important question is this value for money?
Well, it won't be known for several decades whether this deal will be value for money. That depends on many factors that are subject to deep uncertainty, such as the course of future electricity prices and how alternative generating technologies change and develop. But we do not think Bayes did everything it could have done to maximise the chances that the deal will be value for money for consumers, particularly, as I've mentioned, through its lack of consideration of alternative approaches to financing the project. And even going by Bayes' own analysis, the value for money case for proceeding last September was finely balanced, and indeed more finely balanced than when it agreed the key terms of the deal in 2013. Now, this is because of a number of factors, most notably the quicker than expected falls in the costs of alternative low carbon generating sources such as wind and solar power. But as the case for proceeding with the deal became more finely balanced, Bayes increasingly relied on unquantified strategic reasons for going ahead. And this includes things like the impact that the deal will have on increasing the confidence of investors to build other nuclear power stations in the UK.
This is a big project. Are there any lessons that the government can learn from this?
Well, firstly, there are some things the government needs to make sure it does on the Hinkley Point project itself. In particular, we recommend in our report that Bayes ensures that it has robust oversight arrangements in place for the project so that it can find out early on if things are not going to plan. It would then need potentially to trigger alternative options to ensure that there is enough electricity if Hinkley is running late. At present, Bayes' plan B would be to commission more gas-fired power stations or to extend the lives of existing nuclear power stations. The deal also includes clauses which means consumers will share the benefit if construction costs are less than expected, or if the Hinkley's investors make a return on the project that is higher than expected. So the government needs to ensure it has the right oversight arrangements to be able to trigger these clauses if needed. In terms of the wider lessons that we've drawn, we think this deal demonstrates that more needs to be done to consider the costs and risks from a consumer perspective in instances like this, where the burden falls on bill payers rather than on taxpayers. We also think that departments should do more to consider different approaches to structuring deals, even if they fall outside the prevailing policy choice. Our view is that it's important that decision makers are made aware of the cost implications of their chosen approach, to ensure they're making a fully informed decision, particularly when such large sums of money are involved.
Thank you for your insight today, Simon. If you would like to read this report, it is available on our website, www.nao.org.uk. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at NAO.org.uk, or on Facebook, www.facebook.com/NAO.org.uk. Thank you for listening.